I'm here at the Supreme Court today because I respectfully declined to create a custom cake that would celebrate a view of marriage in direct conflict with my faith's core teachings.
When I hire a baker, I'm not hiring them to give their speech. I'm hiring them so that my speech can be expressed.
This has never been about a cake. This is about freedom for LGBT people to live full lives in public and not in constant fear that they will be denied basic service just for who they are.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Austria's top court declares civil marriage equality. A Tanzanian lesbian is arrested after her videoed romance goes viral. And the U.S. Supreme Court considers free speech, creativity, and anti-queer bias. Those stories and more this week now that you've tuned in to This Way Out.
I'm Wenzel Jones.
And I'm Carol Myers.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending December 9th, 2017. Austria's constitutional court has opened civil marriage to same-gender couples and opened civil partnerships to heterosexual couples who prefer that status to marriage. The nation's highest court removed the heterosexuals-only language of marriage laws in its December 4th decision, ruling that restricting same-gender couples to less-than-equal civil partnerships, which had been available to them since 2010, was discriminatory. However, the court said its ruling would not come into effect until January 1, 2019, unless the country's incoming new administration decides to open marriage to lesbian and gay couples sooner than that. According to Pink News, since it will likely be a coalition government of the right-wing Austrian People's Party and the hard-right Freedom Party, that's not likely to happen. The justices did specify that the plaintiff couples directly involved in the constitutional court case could marry sooner than January 2019, unless other obstacles speak against it. Austria joins recent European marriage equality converts Finland, Malta, and Germany. Weddings began in those three countries this year.
The head of Cambodia's Human Rights Committee was one of the prominent speakers at the 7th International Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Trans, and Intersex Association Asia Conference, held December 4th through 8th in Phnom Penh. Kio Remney encouraged attendees to continue pressuring the Cambodian government to end discrimination and extend legal recognition, but in a slow and respectful way. Even though there are no laws against private consensual adult same-gender sex in Cambodia, social stigma is still widespread. We may take some time to educate the people in the community, he said. More than 300 people took part in the conference under the theme United for Love, including activists from some 30 countries, development partners, organizations, diplomatic representatives, and local officials. A movement for marriage equality in the Southeast Asian country has been growing. But there's been pushback by Prime Minister Hun Sen, who started to crack down on political opposition, independent media, and human rights groups, including the NGO Cambodian Center for Human Rights, which has expressed strong support for LGBT equality in recent years. Sen claims that it's a discredited organization that was created by foreigners.
The marriage equality movement is also growing in Japan. As the Kyoto News Service noted, six local governments recognize same-gender couples and treat them the same as married heterosexuals, although their unions are not legally recognized for purposes of public housing, visiting a partner in the hospital, or inheriting property, because a same-gender partner is not considered to be a family member under federal law. The national government continues to resist moves to change the marriage statutes, while several cell phone operators, life insurers, and hospitals have started to recognize same-gender couples as families. The city of Osaka also officially recognized two men as foster parents earlier this year. Recent remarks by senior lawmaker Wataru Takeshita of the ruling Liberal Democratic Party that same-gender partners of state guests should not be invited to banquets hosted by Emperor Akihito and Empress Michiko because it doesn't fit with Japan's tradition drew strong criticism from many quarters. Mr. Takeshita may not be able to assume that there are LGBTs in Japan, said openly gay law professor and activist Ken Suzuki. He may not be able to assume it is possible that a Japanese prime minister may bring a same-sex partner to a banquet someday. Takeshita later apologized.
A woman in Tanzania has learned the hard way that being video recorded on a friend's cell phone is not always a good idea. The unnamed woman, said to be a worker at the local gold mine and between 30 and 40 years of age, was arrested in the northwestern town of Giata after a video of her allegedly hugging, kissing, and presenting another woman with a ring went viral. Regional Commissioner Robert Gabriel told reporters that the country's laws are clear as homosexuality is not allowed, and we will ensure that the law takes its course. It's believed that police are still searching for the woman who appeared in the video accepting the ring. Carnal knowledge of any person against the order of nature is illegal in the East African country, and convictions carry a sentence of up to life in prison. Since he took power in 2015, President John Magufuli has started to rival the leaders of neighboring Uganda and Kenya with escalating crackdowns on sexual minorities. 13 people were arrested in October at a hotel HIV/AIDS prevention workshop, and Tanzania's health minister banned the sale of lube in 2016 to supposedly discourage men from having sex with men. This week's arrest of the videotaped woman is thought to be the first in the country for alleged lesbian activity.
The Trump administration is being dragged, kicking and screaming, to court-ordered acceptance of qualified transgender military service members on January 1st. U.S. District Judge Colleen Collar Cotelli demanded last week that the Pentagon begin accepting transgender recruits on that date, rather than waiting until March for the results of yet another study of the impact of trans troops on enlistees ordered earlier this year by Defense Secretary James Mattis. The Justice Department filed a motion for an emergency stay of that order late this week and asked for an immediate ruling. The Trump administration is trying to reverse yet another progressive policy of the Obama administration, which had approved opening military service to qualified transgender troops in July of this year before that was scuttled by Trump's infamous tweets. At least four federal lawsuits challenging Trump's proposed trans ban have been filed. A second district court last week echoed Collar Cotelli's original October decision that the transgender plaintiffs are likely to win on constitutional grounds. Meanwhile, the Pentagon has confirmed that it is now taking steps to prepare for the court-ordered January 1st deadline. It's unclear how many trans people will actually sign up, however, considering the still unresolved legal issues that cloud their possible military careers.
In other news, one half of one of the gay couples who were infamously denied marriage licenses by Kentucky clerk Kim Davis returned to the Rowan County Courthouse this week. But this time, David Ermold was there to file papers to run against Davis. She announced her re-election campaign last week. It will be the first time she'll face the voters since refusing to issue marriage licenses to same-gender couples 2 years ago, for which she spent a few days in jail for contempt of court, only to emerge as a martyred darling of the religious right. Changes in state law eventually allowed her to keep her job and not have to personally sign the marriage licenses of same-gender couples. The 43-year-old Ermold is an English professor at the University of Pikeville and director of Moorhead Pride. He won't be the only challenger to Kim Davis, but he'll probably be the only one raising the incumbent's homophobia. But he rejected what he called the divide-and-conquer style of politicking. "This campaign we are putting together," he said, "is about unity and bringing people together and restoring fairness." The Associated Press reported that Ermold's candidacy has already attracted some national attention. Comedian and actor Patton Oswalt sent Ermold a tweet asking, "Anything I can do to help?"
And finally, a lopsided majority in Australia's House, as expected, passed legislation to open civil marriage to same-gender couples on December 7th, without any crippling amendments. Four MPs went on record as opposed, while 10 MPs stayed out of the chamber and abstained from voting altogether, including former Prime Minister Tony Abbott, who ignored his constituents' nearly 4-1 vote for marriage equality in the national postal plebiscite that concluded in mid-November. The House action came on the heels of overwhelming passage of a companion bill in the Senate on November 29th. The measure was officially signed into law on December 8th by Governor General Peter Cosgrove on behalf of Queen Elizabeth II, Australia's constitutional head of state. Because the country's marriage laws require a 30-day waiting period after any couple declares its intention to wed, lesbian and gay couples will have to wait until January 9th to start walking down the aisle. However, the new law immediately recognizes the marriages of Australian same-gender couples who've legally wed in other countries. Here's what one of Australia's proudest moments sounded like.
As there are fewer than five members on the side for the noes in this division, I declare the question resolved in the affirmative in accordance with Standing Order 127. The names of those members who are in the minority will be recorded in the votes and proceedings. The clerk.
Third reading, a bill for an act to amend the law relating to the definition of marriage and protect religious freedoms and for related purposes.
That's it.
People in the House gallery spontaneously celebrated in song with what some Aussies would prefer to be their national anthem.
NewsWrap, global queer news with attitude, for the week ending December 9th, 2017. Produced by Steve Pride, written by Greg Gordon, and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
NewsWrap from This Way Out is brought to you by you.
Help keep us on the air and in your ears at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast. For This Way Out, I'm Wenzel Jones.
And I'm Carol Myers.
The U.S. Supreme Court on December 11th refused to hear a Georgia lesbian's job discrimination case to determine whether or not LGBT people are covered under Title VII of the Civil Rights Act, which bans bias based on sex. Several other Title VII cases are being considered by federal courts across the country.
Hi, this is Greg Louganis.
I'm Margaret Cho.
This is Edmund White.
Hi, I'm Kate Clinton.
Hello, I'm Armistead Maupin.
I'm Clive Barker.
Hello, this is Ian McKellen.
I'm Stephen Fry.
I'm Harvey Milk.
Hi, this is Janice Ian.
This is Essex Hemphill.
I'm Ellen DeGeneres.
I'm Tab Hunter.
This is Bishop Gene Robinson.
I'm Robbie Kaplan.
I'm Barney Frank.
I'm Cleve Jones.
My name is Kate Kendall.
I'm Dan Savage.
Hi, I'm Daryl Stevens, and you've discovered
This Way Out.
This Way Out.
This Way Out.
The international radio show for all our sexually diverse communities.
How dare they?
And those who love them.
There's been a lot of noise in the air this year. You might even call it sound and fury. You can help defeat the noise by joining This Way Out's year-end campaign at thiswayout.org.
Yes.
The questions were whose free speech and discrimination against whom when a politically divided U.S. Supreme Court heard oral arguments on December 5th in a case about much more than just cake. If mere confection were the point, the case of the Colorado baker and the gay couple looking for a wedding cake would not have such enormous implications for LGBT civil rights. Is it about art? Swing vote Justice Anthony Kennedy was skeptical when it came to the argument that the baker, who considers himself to be an artist, could not be forced to create messages with which that artist disagrees. On the other hand, Justice Kennedy also did not seem to believe that the Colorado Civil Rights Commission displayed tolerance or respect for the baker's religious beliefs when it found that his refusal to make the couple's cake violated the state's non-discrimination law. On the steps of the Supreme Court, Baker Jack Phillips was emotional about what he called the favorite part of his job.
Designing a custom cake and creating them allow me to use my artistic vision to create works of art that are beautiful and distinctive and that mark the beginning of something sacred. I'm here at the Supreme Court today because I respectfully decline to create a custom cake that would celebrate a view of marriage in direct conflict with my faith's core teachings on marriage.
Customer David Mullins and his husband Charlie Craig were just as emotional about the mortification and humiliation the incident caused them. Mullins said it's not about cake to them.
This has never been about a cake. And this isn't about weddings. It has never been about weddings. No, this is about freedom. Freedom for LGBT people to live full lives in public and not in constant fear that they will be denied basic service in businesses, fired from their jobs, or lose their homes just for who they are. When people live in a world where they can legally be turned away, they feel rejected. They feel unsafe.
Public News Service reporter Eric Galatas has more from Denver.
Colorado law prohibits businesses like Masterpiece from discriminating based on a range of characteristics, including race, sex, nationality, religion, and sexual orientation. Craig Conneth, an associate professor at the University of Colorado Law School, says the court's decision could have broad implications for anti-discrimination laws in Colorado and across the nation.
What this law and laws like it do, they're basically trying to address that history of discrimination and protect LGBT individuals in a range of areas. So if they want to go to the doctor, a grocery store, or a restaurant, this law prevents them from being kicked out.
Phillips' lawyer claims that Baker is an artist and should not be forced to express what the government dictates. An amicus brief filed on behalf of 20 states and a brief from the U.S. Justice Department makes similar arguments. Conneth disagrees and says a cake ordered at a bakery serving the general public does not represent the expression of the shop owner.
When I hire a baker, when I hire someone to make a billboard, I'm not hiring them to give their speech. I'm hiring them so that my speech can be expressed. So I think that they're wrong in saying that this is the baker's speech as opposed to this being the couple's speech.
In the Colorado Court of Appeals 2015 ruling, justices cited a 1964 challenge to the Civil Rights Act where a court ruled that a business owner could not refuse to serve black people based on religious beliefs. Justices said Phillips could voice his opposition to gay marriage on a sign or on the store's website, but picking and choosing customers based on their sexual orientation was against Colorado law. For Public News Service, I'm Eric Galatas.
Andy Hum and Ann Northrup of Gay USA TV took apart the proceedings and the players.
Four of the justices, Alito, Thomas, Roberts, and Gorsuch, were appallingly, you know, with the baker on this. I mean, Alito was saying, well, you being forced to write something. No, he's not being forced to write something. It's how he, you know, he's making roses on a cake, okay? That's what he does for everybody.
And the four liberal justices, Ginsburg, Sotomayor, Kagan, and Breyer, were clearly on the side of the same-sex couple and their right not to be discriminated against and to be treated equally with everyone else in the public realm.
So we might as well have just made it a colloquy and had the case heard by Anthony Kennedy.
He is the linchpin at the moment. You can predict any kind of outcome based on what Anthony Kennedy said.
He seemed to have a couple of deep concerns, one of which was the what he felt was anti-religious animus, hostility of one of the commissioners on the Civil Rights Commission.
In considering this case, she said she was tired of religion being used to excuse discrimination and ill treatment of stigmatized people, and that she found this despicable.
She said, look, the Holocaust, slavery were done in the name of religion. And she said, that's despicable.
So Anthony Kennedy turns this around to claim that she is calling religion despicable. And really what she's saying is that religion is being misused
right.
in horrible ways by people who are manipulating these situations and inappropriately claiming a religious view to promote things like the Holocaust or slavery.
He's torn. He is a very conservative justice who has written all four major gay rights decisions in our favor, okay? But he has also signed on to the Hobby Lobby decision, which
you know, I think is crucial in this case.
Right, which absolutely allowed a private business to invoke its religion and not give coverage for contraception. Kennedy asked the Solicitor General of the United States, representing our government now under the Trump administration,
which has switched sides in this case,
can the bakery put up a sign that says, no wedding cakes for gay couples? And he said it could say yes, and it could, as long as it said no custom cakes.
And then Sarah Huckabee Sanders was asked at the White House press briefing shortly after these arguments, does the president agree, since his solicitor general said this, that businesses should be allowed to post signs saying no custom wedding cakes for gay people?
the lawyer from the Solicitor General's office for the administration said today in court, in the Supreme Court, that it would be legal, it would be possible for a baker to put a sign in his window saying, quote, we don't bake cakes for gay weddings. Does the president agree that that would be okay?
The president certainly supports religious liberty, and that's something that he talked about during the campaign has since upheld since taking office. I believe that would include that.
Kennedy actually, in response to that, said, well, that's an affront to the gay community. Oh, really?
And how about refusing to make them the cake in the first place? Is that an affront to the gay community?
And he said that businesses could start picking customers based on identity. Yes.
Yes. So he is both offended by discrimination against us and offended by any what he perceives as an expression of discrimination against religion. Here are the possibilities. One, he could side with the conservatives and decide for the baker's right to discriminate on the basis of purported religious principles, and we would lose.
With some tortured struggle to limit the scope of the decision, they keep
saying.
Good
luck with that.
Yes, because you're opening a Pandora's box
here. As you did with Hobby Lobby. Right. Or he could torture himself into overlooking what he thinks is the religious discrimination in the Civil Rights Commissioner's statement and decide with the liberals, in which case we would win. Or he could decide to try to cure the Civil Rights Commissioner's statement to make himself sleep better at night, even though he has misinterpreted her statement, and remand the case to the Civil Rights Commission or to the Colorado courts for a rehearing of this case
right.
in an attempt to clarify these issues. Meanwhile, of course, this is the court that just upheld Trump's discrimination against Muslims from certain countries by upholding the travel ban.
Yeah, where's the respect for religion?
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. It's only Christian fundamentalism.
So we don't know where this is going to end up. It's a great mystery, and everybody is shaking their head.
And they don't have to, they don't ever have to issue the decision, but usually they don't. They save the big ones until June of 2018. Again, folks, it is so important, and it doesn't have to do with LGBT rights. It has to do with all civil rights laws. And what I would remind you is that the separation of church and state has been, pardon the expression, the salvation of the United States. It has let religion thrive and in many forms, and, it has kept us from, killing each other most of the time.
Right.
But before we leave the Supreme Court, we should also mention that they denied cert. They're not going to hear Houston's challenge to the Texas High Court ruling that cast doubt on whether the city was obligated to provide equal benefits to same-sex married couples. Now, Houston, same-sex married couples are receiving equal benefits now. There is a case that's working its way through the courts. There was a bad ruling by the Texas High Court in June. It's, basically what the Supreme Court of the United States is saying, we're not ready for this. It hasn't even really been adjudicated under Obergefell by the trial court. So it's a procedural motion, essentially. It's not great. It would be great if the Supreme Court stepped in and said, stop this nonsense. But in terms of the way they handle cases, they're not ready for it. And they have ruled in our favor in a similar case in Arkansas already.
Right, right. But we should also footnote before we leave this something you said before we started taping. If they do remand the Masterpiece Cake Shop case back to a Colorado entity, and if we take longer to get to this Houston case, and who knows what other cases down the road, if Trump succeeds in putting another hard right conservative on the court to replace Kennedy or anybody else, we are really in trouble because then we're just gone. They can do anything they want,
right.
Just like the Republican Congress can do anything they want.
We will have little access to the federal court, the ultimate federal courts. The federal courts at the lower level, even with Reagan and Bush judges, has been decent to us.
Absolutely.
But we've already heard from lawyers on our side say, well, we'll do our best to stay within state law on a lot of things and just get state court rulings because what else are we going to do?
In the final analysis, The Advocate's Matt Baume wonders whether it's fair to say that art imitates cake.
What does creative mean exactly? Nobody's really sure. Is Carvel an art gallery? Is sandwich artist a literal term? Could Subway turn people away because sandwich making is an art form? Someone could claim to be a creative accountant. These legal arguments are creative. Colleges might be creative. An apartment building, a bank, a bus. You could make the case for any kind of business. If the cake shop wins this case, it could mean that any business could say, oh no, we're creative, and we don't have to follow the law. And if that happens, queer people would be denied a lot more than cake. And by the way, this isn't the first time someone's tried this. In the 1960s, a restaurant called Piggy Park made the case that they should be allowed to turn away black customers on the basis of the owner's religious belief that black people are biblically destined for slavery. The courts rejected his reasoning then, pointing out that while the owner is entitled to his private beliefs, a business that's open to the public can't violate the public's civil rights. 50 years ago, the Supreme Court ruled in that case that segregated restaurants should be against the law. Now we're about to find out if they still believe that to be true.
It's not the first time Colorado and queer rights have met at the U.S. Supreme Court, and not the first time Justice Anthony Kennedy is the linchpin. I'm Lucia Chappell. Next time on This Way Out, we remember that May 1996 decision, when, by the way, Justice Kennedy ruled against bias. Colorado,
Colorado. For the first time in the history of the United States, the U.S. Supreme Court has ruled that gay and lesbian Americans are entitled to equal protection under the law.
It's important to understand that Amendment 2 was never about people. It was about conduct.
We're not trying to destroy the family. We want to have families and be accepted by our families.
Because of this ruling, there will be no logical or reasonable explanation as to why pedophilia, bestiality, bigamy, and polygamy cannot be denied to anybody that claims it.
We got a good decision, folks. It's going to have an impact for many, many years to come. And we all made it possible here in Colorado.
Sounds from our archives recall the May 1996 U.S. Supreme Court ruling on Colorado's discriminatory Amendment 2, next time on This Way Out.
Thanks for discovering This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. This week's program material came from Wenzel Jones and Carol Myers, produced by Steve Fried, and from Public News Service's Eric Galatis, Gay USA's Andy Hammond, Ann Northrup, and The Advocate's Matt Baum. Eileen Barton performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Yavanna Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentham, our contributing affiliate stations, and you, our listener donors, for making this program possible, especially during our Defeat the Noise year-end campaign at thiswayout.org. Look for This Way Out Radio on Facebook, Twitter, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and Google+. Smile at Overnight Productions on Amazon. Email tworadio@aol.com or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078 USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on WUML Lowell, Massachusetts, KKFI Kansas City, Missouri, 3MGB Malakuta, Victoria, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Stay tuned.